Good morning. Goeiemôre. This morning I'm going to deliver a word which will contain something that I pray your hearts will be open to receive. Tess and I did some very fruitful Bible studies together, wait before the Lord and read His word and listened, and something is opening up that I will just touch on this morning. 2 weeks ago, you will remember, we spoke about the difference between the work of the cross and the way of the cross. Will you remember that?
Yes.
The difference between the work of the cross, which refers to the finished works of Jesus, and the way of the cross, which is the road you and I must walk. And there's a difference between the work of the cross, which was finished on the cross, on Calvary, when Jesus said, "It is finished." And we mustn't confuse the two. When Jesus said to His disciples, "You must take up your cross and follow Me," it referred to something different. Take up your cross. And Maud, your cross will be different to the cross that George must carry. No two people carry the same cross. Take up your cross and follow Me. And I pray that there will be clarity, because we all need to really fully grasp the depth of this word to our hearts. Because somewhere on the road, if we do this correctly, by the help of the Holy Spirit, it will help us to fulfill our divine destiny on this earth. Something that always pops out from my heart, you will know, those of you that know me for a long time, is that before you were born, God had a plan for you. And when you were born, God said, "This is the plan that I have for you." And sadly, so many people never connect fully with that plan that God has for their life. They fulfill other dreams and destinies and connections, and they cannot understand why things just go right. Things just don't work out. So this morning, I would like to, by the help of the Holy Spirit, and I'm leaning heavily on the Holy Spirit this morning to deliver this word. Not going to be long, but I want you to really absorb, and we'll seal this with the communion. Many believers, they still struggle along in life, and they desire to embrace the cross, but they are confused by the things they meet on the way. They're confused. Things don't go right. Prayers don't always get answered. Why? Do you know how many Christians have the question, why? And then we go into a bit of self-pity and we say, why me? Why me? We must identify the sources of difficulty in our lives. Can I repeat that? Each person must identify the source of difficulty in your life. Because the tendency is, whenever we face something difficult, many times we say, "Oh, well, this is the cross I must bear." Not so. Not necessarily so. Ek gaan nou deur 'n moeilike tyd, die kruis. Woo. Don't say that every time you face difficulty. These are the questions we must ask. When we face difficulty on our journey, we must ask for clarity. Does it come from God? Does it come from myself, my own choices in life? Or does it come from the devil? Does it come from Satan? Hey, dis so makkelijk vir ons om te sê, wat de duivel gaat hier aan? But it's not necessarily always from the devil. That's why I want us to start with reading some verses in Hebrews chapter 12. And I want to nail this thing once and for all, that we will never doubt. When certain things happen on our life journey, when it comes from God, we will know it comes from God, and we will know why. Yes. God can sometimes put difficulties on our journey. Yes. Hebrews 12 verse 5. Wait a minute. Let's go to verse 4. Hebrews 12 from verse 4. You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. Everybody say with me, as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. I asked Tess, she's very good in Afrikaans, what does the word scourge mean in Afrikaans? She thought and thought and thought and couldn't tell me. So the only way for me to find out what the word scourge means was to go to the Afrikaans Bible. Die Here tuchtig. Die Here tuchtig elke seun wat hy ontvang. Ons gebruik daai woord baie min. Ons is eintlik skrikkerig vir tuchtiging. Is dit reg? He scourges every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. You know, this should comfort us. It should strengthen us. When we go through what is indeed disciplining from God, that we know he's dealing with us as sons. Amen. Not as illegitimate children. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? We know that in today's life, to discipline your child can end you in court. To discipline a student in school today, you can be punished. That's the way things go. Discipline is disappearing off the screen. But our God disciplines every son whom he receives. Then it says, but if you are without discipline, verse 8, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Ek het nou amper gevoel, ek moet vra, sal allemaal opstaan wat nog nooit getuchtig was nie. Thank God, there's no illegitimate child here. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they discipline us for a short time as seemed best to them, but he... This is the Father of spirits. He disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. Verse 11 says, all discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful but sorrowful. And everybody say, amen. Right? Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Identify the source of difficulty in your life. Obedience will bring chastisement from God. He is our Father. Let's look at the second one. Let's identify a second source of difficulty. I have to say this. That normally is yourself. Because Galatians 6 says, whatever a man sows, he will reap. If you make wrong choices in life, wrong choices and wrong decisions, don't blame God if there's a backlash. Don't blame God. What a man sows, he will reap. Reaping is the result of natural laws of cause and effect. For example, ladies, listen carefully. If you go out on a Saturday morning and you want to get a suntan, and you want to lie on your private pool space where nobody can see you because you want a suntan. Now, if you fall asleep there and the sun is 40 degrees and you fall asleep for a couple of hours, don't blame the devil or God when you are burnt. It's a natural law. You've broken a natural law. And I can give you endless examples. There are multiple ways in which we can sow the wrong seed. Now, the last one I want to spend a bit of time on. How do I identify some hindrance in my life or something that keeps on harassing me, biting me in the face when it comes from the devil? Satan is the hinderer and his methods are legion. Hy het baie maniere om ons besig te hou. Hy hou daarvan as jy sê, wat die duivel gaan nou weer hier aan? Hy sê, let me go back to this. One more example I want to just give you on sowing and reaping. If you continue eating wrongly, wrong foods and too much, don't blame God or the devil when things go wrong in your body. Folks, please hear me. The world is full of options, choices you can make, what to eat, how much you can eat. But I plead with all of you and with myself, eat right. When you want to eat more because it's so nice, stop. Know when to stop. Don't go beyond certain limits. Check what you eat. It may look good on the outside, but it may be poisonous. Bad for you. What happens when we eat wrong, having the knowledge that what we eat is wrong? Do you know what you're doing? You give the devil a legal right to assault you. I'll say more about that. Now, why are some of our prayers not answered? This is the bottom line question here. There's some scriptures I want to give you, well-known scriptures, but I just want to put them together in a way that perhaps some of us have never done before. Revelation 12, verse 10. You don't have to go there. We'll get back there towards the end. But I think we all know that. Satan is called the accuser of the brethren. And you know what it says there. Satan accuses the brethren before God day and night. He is the accuser of the brethren and, of course, the sisters. Keep that in mind. Now, I want to use a language that perhaps we've never heard in this context. But this is where we now are just digging in and digging into the scriptures. We're discovering that in many verses in the Bible, the language used is legal language. Talks about a judge. Do you know how many scriptures in the Bible talks about a judge? Even the word advocate is in the Bible. And what is not always visibly there is the word courts, the courts of heaven. Now, how many of you have been in a court case? You had to defend yourself before. All right, okay, all right. I will never forget, I was driving in Pretoria as a young student, and the white line in the middle was a bit vague. Was vague. The paint was coming off. And the guy in front of me, his car was loaded. And it's like he just can't get away. And I had a nice Volvo. So I looked around, everything was safe, and I overtook him. What I didn't see, down the road ahead, next to the road, there was a police car. So he stopped me, pulled me off. I got a ticket to appear in court. A week or two or three later, I was in court. Now, incidentally, in that time, I was studying law. One of my wishes was to become a lawyer. I did the first year law as well, and then God changed my direction. But anyway, here I'm standing in court, and the policeman is my accuser. I'm using that word, okay? The case against me was that I overtook where there was a solid line. You're not supposed to overtake. And the judge, you know, the judge writes everything down. So he listens to the accuser. Then I didn't have a lawyer to defend me. I didn't have money to get an advocate. So I defended myself. So I stood up and I said, "No." So I studied a bit of law, so I know you mustn't say the other guy lied. Because it was a solid line. I said, "Your Honor, I saw the line, but the line was not very clear. But I saw the line, but also the car in front of me just was so slow. And I was in a hurry. And I looked around and I didn't jeopardize any traffic. I didn't put any other person in danger. And so I overtook." I stood there. Judge. He said, "Swart." This court finds you guilty and lay you no fine on. You can go. Dit help om eerlijk te wees. We have an accuser that accuses us before God day and night. The thing that you and I must not do is to give him legal right to accuse us. Don't give Satan legal right. Then you're in trouble. I found it very interesting when we got into this study to go back to the book of Job. We all know that story. But it's an amazing verse in Job 1, and it happened again in Job chapter 2. There you see a picture. It says, and the sons of God came before God. And you might as well put in the courts of heaven. The sons of God appeared before God in the courts of heaven, comma. And Satan was among them. That's a picture I can't explain. Why he has such free access to God, because he has a hidden agenda. He was waiting for an opportunity to accuse, to lay a charge against one of God's children. And this time, you know the story, before he could initiate some kind of legal charge, God said, have you noticed my servant Job? And we know the story. And of course, Satan was given the right, with limitations, to, we know, put Job through one of the most severe tests that anybody could ever think of. But Satan was there in the courts with his plan and agenda. In 1 Peter 5 verse 8 we read, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Please understand this. This is after the cross. This is after the complete victory on the cross. Satan still prowls looking for an opportunity. And this is where you and I must be wide awake. And I'm going to read from Isaiah 54, two verses. Isaiah 54. Hidden in these verses is a truth that many people don't want to reconcile with and understand. Isaiah 54:16 says, behold, I myself, this is God speaking, I myself have created the smith who blows the fire of coals and brings out a weapon for its work. God says, I myself have created this guy, this smith who blows the fire of coals and brings out a weapon for its work. And I have created the destroyer to ruin. Go back to a word I brought last year. What is the purpose of Satan? If you haven't heard that, go back and get that. Because I'm not going to repeat that now. But God created the destroyer for a purpose. But he cannot go beyond the permission that God gives him. Cannot. But even in that realm of permission, it becomes very difficult for the saints, for believers, to be haunted, as it were. To be charged And especially when we give Satan a legal right. I believe God's going to open this up to us more. A legal right. But then verse 17 goes on and says, "And every tongue that accuses you in judgment, you will condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication is from me, declares the Lord." Let me repeat that. Every tongue that accuses you in judgment, you will condemn. And I want to explain to you who this "you" is. When is it possible for you and me, when we are accused, to find out whether we have actually given legal ground or whether Satan is lying? The accuser always operates from a legal position, and we must not give him that platform or that right. Remove. Now, here's a very important truth. Remove that platform from him. Take away that legal, I put this in quotes, that legal right. Take it away. Proverbs 26, verse 2 is a beautiful verse. I'm reading the Message. "You have as little to fear from an undeserved curse as from the dart of a wren or the swoop of a swallow." Afrikaans. Ek het gevoel hierdie vers moet jy in Afrikaans hoor. Spreuke 26 vers 2. "Soos die voeltjie wegfladder, soos die swaweltjie wegvlieg, so is 'n vervloeking sonder oorsaak. Dit kom nie uit nie." Satan's attack usually involves a curse. And that will hurt you when Satan has legal ground. But if he doesn't, won't hurt you. Now, here's what I think the most obvious legal ground that we often give Satan. Now, let's go a little bit deeper and you must listen carefully. I've experienced this. I've seen this in counseling people that constantly go through hassles and pain. One of the things you and I must learn, God help us. When we've gone through a situation of pain, or we've been hurt, you can call it many other names. What you must get rid of and never harbor in your heart is anger or unforgiveness. When you carry unforgiveness in your heart, you have a legal ground out for Satan to accuse you. How do you remove that legal platform from the devil? You repent. You repent from your deepest heart, and you remove that right that the enemy has. Take time before the Lord and find out what legal right you may have given the enemy. Initially, when we saw this and heard this, I almost rejected it. Because what we say is, yeah, but you know, there's the finished works. Yes, but even after the finished works, why are the apostles dealing with this over and over and over in the New Testament? Even in the last book of the Bible, talks about the accuser of the brethren who accuses them before the Lord day and night. Ultimately, of course, Satan is destroyed. He was destroyed even on the cross. Jesus said it. The evil one was judged. But he still has, for some reason, this leeway, this freedom to accuse. I want to read with you, and I want you to read this with me, Luke chapter 18. Luke 18. May the Lord really stir us in those areas where we need to wake up. Because the way of the cross, the way of the cross has nothing to do. All right, get this. The way of the cross has nothing to do with what you sow and reap. The way of the cross has nothing to do with being disciplined by God. That's not the way of the cross. The way of the cross has nothing to do with what Satan throws in your way. We're going to open this up more. But it's too easy to say, well, this is my cross. I have to walk. No, don't. We need to find out, what does it mean to walk the way of the cross? Now, Luke 18, the first 8 verses will help us to see a little bit more. Now this is Jesus. Jesus was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart. In a certain city there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. And there was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him asking, "Give me legal protection from my opponent." And for a while he was unwilling, but afterwards he said to himself, "Even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection, lest by continually coming to me she wears me out." And the Lord said, "Hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now shall not God bring about justice?" Who is the fair judge? Right? He compares the unrighteous, the unfair judge, but now he's talking about, shall not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? And will he delay long over them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them speedily. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find the faith on the earth? Will he find the faith on the earth? In 1 John chapter 2, he comforts us. He says, remember, Jesus is our advocate. That's what it says. Jesus is our advocate. He will stand between us and false accusations. It is not only possible to know what your cross is, but each believer should find out what your cross is. So that you don't blame the wrong person and sometimes falsely blame God when you go through something and say, well, this is my cross. You must identify your cross on this way of the cross. Jesus said, take up your cross. Take up your cross. The call to embrace the divine manner of living, which is the working of death, is a privilege which we deliberately choose. It is never imposed on us. Get this. Please hear this. The cross that Jesus talks about, take up your cross, is not the following. Listen, it is not, as often assumed, it is not trials. It is not afflictions. It is not incurable disease. It is not the loss of money. It's not even the loss of a loved one. That is not your cross. See, we confuse. We grow up with these things and we don't get clarity. And you go through a trial. God wants you to become an overcomer. How can you become an overcomer if you don't face trials and tribulations? Don't say, that's my cross. Lord, help us. The cross is to fulfill that specific calling for which God has apprehended you. It comes to live, to realize that distinctive ministry for which He has prepared you. The cross is different for everyone. We know that. Here's something else Jesus said. He said, blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you. And most of us, when we read that, we stop there and put the false stop there and say, I'm blessed. First, read the rest of that verse. Let me read it again. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Jesus speaking. When they say things about you falsely for the sake of Jesus, then you are blessed. Then you are blessed. If the accusation men cry against you is true, no blessedness follows. We fool ourselves when we try to turn punishments against us, just punishments, into a cross and rejoice over that for which we should rather repent. Don't say, this is my cross, if actually you should repent. The cross is always in the way of righteousness. Let me read from 1 Peter 2:20. I'm reading 1 Peter 2:20. For what glory is it if, when you get buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently? But if, when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, that is acceptable with God. What is the lesson we can learn from this? The believer is brought again and again to the place of prayer to inquire of the Lord concerning adversity. Ek wil dit herhaal en ek sluit af. Make this a priority in your prayer life to inquire from God concerning the adversity in your life. Here, waar kom hierdie dwarswinde vandaan? Hoekom al hierdie dwarswinde? What is this about? Don't manufacture false crosses. And I'm closing. Now we're going to Revelation chapter 12. I want you to read that with me. Revelation 12. Revelation 12. From verse 10. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of His Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, who accuses them before our God day and night. Verse 11. And they overcame him. Here's the key. Because of the blood of the Lamb, because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life even to death. This is the lifestyle I must live. This is what's going to happen in the final submission, the final demonstration of the kingdom of God. Can we see that? Now, the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of the brethren has been thrown down, who accuses them before our God day and night. I want us to stand before the Lord. Can we bring the table? Because we want to seal this truth. I tell you what, when we take the cup and we eat the bread, we stand before the Lord with thanksgiving, because the biggest contract that was ever done on the earth was the cross of Calvary. That was the biggest legal contract ever that succeeded, was the cross of Calvary. Can we all stand, please?